Tomas, Tomas, we are back, my friend. You know what that means? Time for a little bit more Tasty Live right now with this market measure sponsored by the CBOE. Even the S&P's up 28.
I think that's the music Anton likes. You hear that beat just then? That beat?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he likes.
That's what he likes?
Yeah.
Well, he was wearing the right shirt for today. He looks like he was ready to go out discoing.
You know, the VIX was so weak all day that I couldn't buy into.
We talked a little bit about it, how even the S&Ps went up about only 18 or so, about 10 handles lower than where they are right now. But you are right. Volatility has continued to go lower, down a full point now, almost 6%, trading 1677. It's been weak all morning, kind of giving legs a little bit to this market. You are right. Even the Russell has rallied back. It's up 10. Remember, it turned red for a quick second.
I'll tell you some crazy stuff. Netflix, I already covered that strangle I sold this morning. Less than a half hour ago, it came in a dollar already.
Yeah, Netflix down $10 and change. I got some emails about the zero-day trades collapsing quite quickly with volatility going down almost 6% and the market really not moving since the opening. You would expect that. So far, it's been a good day.
Well, with NVIDIA up today, the strangle in there, that I have a short June strangle, it came in by almost $7.
Wow.
Hold on, is that possible? Yeah.
Can't be. Really?
Yeah, $6 it came in.
Seems like a lot.
I know, for the first hour of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
It came in over $6. That's crazy.
Seems like a lot.
No question about it.
Netflix, let me take a look.
No, that's NVIDIA.
Oh, NVIDIA, sorry.
Just taking a look around elsewhere. Yeah, Netflix is a PIG pig, but I covered that. The biggest loser we have today, easily Tesla. Can't defend that. That's it. We have no other bad ones.
Yeah, Tesla can't buy itself an uptick.
Maybe GLD.
No number gold can. Well, I mean, I guess the number gold can go down. But I like the 60 points.
Yeah, I agree. Everything else is good. All good, as they say. All good in the neighborhood. Anyway, I'm Tom Sosnoff. He's Tony Batista. It's 9:15 Central Time. We're in Chicago. And we got a lot going on today. So let's take a look at this first piece of research we put together. I'm going to change screens.
All right.
The statistical impact of price on implied volatility. Let's see where the boys are going with this today. The statistical impact of price on volatility. They're calling this part one. So
implying there's going to be more than one part.
I assume so. So changes in price and implied volatility have an inverse relationship. When the SPY sells off, we see implied volatility increase. First thing to just take away from this is the one relationship that will never change is the inverse relationship between volatility and price. Because when we say never, by the way, we only mean like 85 or 90% of the time, because sometimes you get upside expansion and volatility. But for 90% of the time, and it's actually over time, it's over 90% of the time, the inverse relationship between volatility and price is always the same, meaning that when price goes down, volatility goes up in the indexes.
Mm-hmm.
When stocks go up, volatility goes down. When stocks go down, volatility goes up. It's just a fear gauge.
Sure.
And it has an inverse relationship to price. Let's take a look at the next slide. So how much, because this is what people ask us all the time. They write in, they say, how much does a sell-off in an index affect the corresponding implied volatility index? We probably get, I don't know, at least a handful of emails a week and probably a dozen or two a month going on for 10 straight years about this one question. How much does a sell-off in an index affect the corresponding volatility? Because as volatility sellers, that's a very reasonable question. So moreover, when the market experiences a price increase, how does it affect volatility in the corresponding IV index compared to a decrease? So the market goes up, how much does volatility goes down? And when the market goes down, how much does volatility go up? All right, we've done a couple of studies of this over the years, and I wouldn't say they're inconclusive, they're actually pretty damn good, but as we get better and better with our research over the years, it's time to upgrade. Let's go to the next slide. So just like the VIX is the 30-day volatility product for SPY, the other major indices also have volatility products. We don't quote these just because we don't want to overwhelm you, but a lot of our viewers and a lot of traders use this. For people that just like trading the NASDAQ, they'll use VXN. For people that, well, nobody really just trades Dow, I don't think, VXD, and the Russell's RVX. But we just quote the VIX for simplicity's sake. Let's not overly confuse this. Sure. I mean, of all these, the one that's used the most next to the VIX would be VXN, because the NASDAQ does play, you know, a pretty important role in the overall market. But we stick to VIX. Let's go to the next slide. And there's different ones for, you know, for crude oil, things like that, everything else. So we did a 19-year study. We recorded the daily percent change in the SPY, IWM, and the diamonds, and also a daily percent change in the SPY, IWM, and the diamonds, plus and minus, okay? And we recorded the corresponding changes in the implied in implied volatility indexes of those same three. I'm not sure why they didn't do the VXN, but I guess there must have been a reason. Either there was some corrupt data or something like that. Otherwise, we would have done it. Sometimes we get,
you don't get good data for VXN.
Yeah, sometimes we'll find like something where we think the data is corrupt. So we, you know, because it's some doesn't match. So we'll.
It's like a big blip one way or the other.
Yeah, we don't want to give. You know, so we'll review everything before we push it out in the market measures. So let's go to the next slide. I'm just guessing that was the case here. So the first thing you see with the with IWM and RVX is you're going to see something that looks, you know, very similar. Not all these are going to look similar. They are the same things. But again, we're just trying to give you just kind of the visual, and then we'll get into, you know, some of the heavier stuff. Let's go to the next slide, John. And you can see here with the diamonds, because they're going to have the, you know, the IWM is a small cap growth index. The diamonds is a large cap index. So it's going to look similar, but it's not going to have the same kind of volatility extremes, because its starting point is much lower volatility. And then let's go to the next one. So, they did put the Qs in here. So, good. So, they just forgot to list it. So, here's the Qs and VXN, which is going to look much more like you would expect it to. Again, very similar to IWM, but just, you know, kind of probably one of the cleanest patterns. And let's go to the next slide. Oh, I guess they don't have the S&Ps. So, all of these indices exhibited inverse relationship between changes in price and changes in implied volatility. We can quantify this relationship by approximating the contribution to changes in implied volatility from the changes in price. Next slide. Okay, so here we go. The following changes in implied volatility is what we can expect on average when an equity index moves down by 1 and 2%. So this is where it starts to get, like, very interesting. The 1% moves, the 2% moves, and what does that mean? And this is 19 years worth of research. So a 1% move in SPY, Qs, diamonds, and IWM equates to a 12% move in implied volatility. This is over 19 years on average. 12% in the IV index. So 12% move in the IV index, a 7% move in the Qs, a 9% move in the diamonds, and an 8% move in IWM.
You're going from that, like, let's say that 20 number in implied volatility to 22 or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
The change in IV index, that would be the IVX on the right-hand side.
Well, actually, what you're really doing, because for the last 19 years, the average has probably been closer to 15. So what you're talking about, what you're talking about is probably from 15 to 1670 or something like that.
Okay.
15 to 1680.
Much different from 20 to 22. I got it.
Okay. Good. Well, in the Qs, on a 1% move is 7%, on a 2% move is 10%. You're going to think these 1% moves are actually kind of high, and they are. They are, but they go back into periods of really low volatility too. And some, you know, like this is just the average. So you can take a few, you know, you can take a little bit off this and stuff like that. Sure. But basically what it's saying is, if you have a 2% move in the market, you're going to have about a 10% move in implied volatility. And if you have a 1% move in the market, on average, you're going to have about an 8% move in implied volatility. That kind of gives you an idea of what your theta risk is. And it kind of gives you an idea. It gives you an idea of what your theta risk is. It gives you an idea of like what to expect in some of these indexes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next slide. So it is also clear that if the market increases, also the volatility tends to decrease relatively, which indicates the reverse relationship as well. So basically going the other direction, okay? Instead of going down, let's say the market goes up. So out of these four market indices, the SPYs showed a more significant response to an increase in price. And anyway, and a change in the underlying price, like up 1%, what are we today? Well, it's only a quarter of a percent, so it's nothing.
Yeah, it's
but
S&Ps are actually up 15.
Up 1%, the change in the IV index. The change in the IV index is a 1.5%. That change is lower, but that's what the change is. It's 1.5%. So on an up move of 1%, and this is why we have this thing called skew. This is why we usually carry short deltas. Because on an up move, we have a move of 1.5%, a 1% up move. On a down move, it's down 8%. On a 2% move in the market, the volatility change is a little bit less, okay? Because you scare the children a little bit. So it becomes about a 0.5% move.
Okay, cool.
Right? That's it.
Yeah.
Just because, because.
Just put it in perspective, sure.
Well, also because usually when you have a 2% up move, you're usually going from lower implied volatility price to start with.
That's true.
Let's go to the last slide. So index prices and volatility have an inverse relationship. So when prices fall, volatility increases. And despite having this inverse relationship, the price decreases have a greater impact on volatility, more than when the price increases by the same percentage, thus benefiting traders in the market. However, it's crucial to remain mindful of the potential downside risks. On average, when the SPY falls by 1%, volatility tends to rise. I think that 12% number is going to be a little high because the other ones are so much lower. But let's say 8 to 10%, presenting an opportunity to sell implied volatility. On a 2% move, it's obviously going to be 10% across the board plus.
Very good, my friend. Good job out of you. Good job out of team. That was a kind of a long market measure there. 11 slides with a lot of information needed to be absorbed. So we'll take a quick 90-second break. Even the S&Ps are taking a break too, Sadhu. They're only up around 13 right now. NASDAQ's doing the same, up around 13. And the Dow is up 100. Russell up 8. Volatility hanging in there. VIX down 64 cents. We'll take a quick 90-second break and come back. We got more Tasty Live after this with, your friend and mine, Mr. Scott Sheridan, next Tasty Trade World Headquarters.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered